Good morning. We're going to talk about We Are More Than Conquerors, Romans 8, verses 31 to 39. So let's read that passage together. If you've got your Bibles, you can follow along. Otherwise, it's up there for you. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Jesus Christ, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Have you ever felt overwhelmed? Perhaps overwhelmed by circumstances, or perhaps overwhelmed by disappointment. Perhaps overwhelmed by grief. Overwhelmed by uncertainty about the future, perhaps. I think most of us will agree that we've felt something of one of those things in our lifetime to date. Life has a way of confronting us with questions, and some of you might have just thought about some of these. Am I enough? Will I get through this? Does God still care? Can I really trust him with what I'm facing? Some people might carry these questions quietly, and others might carry them every day. There might be some of you this morning who are carrying a burden that no one else knows about. Some of us are grieving. Some of us are anxious. Some of us are discouraged. And some of us are tired. Some of us are fighting battles that can't be seen. And into that reality comes one of the greatest chapters in Scripture, in my humble opinion, of course, Romans chapter 8. Some biblical scholars have called Romans chapter 8 the mountain peak of the Bible. And it begins with these remarkable, Roger used that descriptive word last Sunday, and I think it's very apt, begins with these remarkable words, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's at the beginning of the chapter. The Amplified Version says there are no guilty verdicts or punishment for those who are in Christ Jesus. And then the chapter ends with, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. No condemnation at the beginning, no separation at the end. And in between, I called it a sandwich. Kayla said, no, don't do that. Don't call it a sandwich. But you know, you've got the beginning and you've got the end, and in the middle, we're going to discover how to live victoriously in such a broken world. So today we are going to focus on this verse here and all these things. We are more than conquerors through him who loves us. We heard about Lee. We heard from Lee about living in the Spirit. And we heard from Roger about present suffering and future glory. So today we focus on this verse here, 37. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Notice he doesn't say we are survivors. And he doesn't say we scrape through. He doesn't even say we just barely make it. He says we are more than conquerors. You know, I wonder how Paul could say that when his life was so difficult. And Roger talked about that last week too. Let's look at these three truths from the scripture. Number one, the foundation, God is for us. And this is in verse 31 to 34. I think this is one of the most powerful statements in scripture. If God is for us, who can be against us? 31. There are actually many songs that have been penned on this verse. Again, notice what Paul is not saying. He doesn't say nobody will be against us, because people will oppose us. Circumstances will challenge us. The enemy will attack us, tempt us, and challenge us. Life will disappoint us. Look at Paul. Imprisonment, beatings, rejection, shipwrecks, hardship. And yet he says, if God is for us, who can be against us? This also reminds me of Job in the Old Testament. Job was a man who lost everything. He suffered immense loss, losing his children and his wealth. But he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I think that's just amazing that he is able to do that. God knew God was near to him during his challenges. Everything changes when you know who is standing beside you. The Christian life is not confidence in ourselves, it is confidence in God. Then Paul immediately points to the evidence of God's love in verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Paul's argument is quite simple, I think. If God was willing to give us his son for us, why would he abandon us? The cross is God's permanent declaration of love. Whenever you doubt God's love, look to the cross. Whenever circumstances confuse you, look to the cross. Whenever you wonder if God sees your pain, look to the cross. The cross. We sung about that this morning, where Jesus died on the cross to conquer death, to conquer all these things, to be able to be there for us, to help us when life is difficult. When you turn your face to the light of the world, the shadows fall behind. Now, there's a science fair experiment someone liked to pick up. When you turn your face to the light of the world, the shadows will fall behind. God is there for us. Does God love me? Does he love you? Yes. The cross proves it. Then in verse 33, Paul says, who shall bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Many people still live under condemnation. Many believers even. We replay old things. We replay old failures, old regrets, mistakes we've made, old words that were spoken over them. You know, the enemy loves to remind us of our past. And we've got to stop doing this. If we belong to Jesus, that is in the past. That belongs to God. God reminds us of his grace. His grace has dealt with all of that. And remember Romans 8, verse 1, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That doesn't mean we're perfect. We're not perfect. But it means we're forgiven. Did anyone have any one of those sparkly car stickers in the 1970s, I think it might have been. Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven, on the back of their car. God doesn't define you by your worst moment. God defines you by Christ. Paul then goes on by telling us that Christ intercedes for us. This is amazing. Paul says Jesus now sits at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. Let's just think about that for a moment. This is Jesus Christ, the holy and perfect Son, and he is praying for you. Not against you, for you. When you are weak, when you are confused, when you are weary, Jesus is interceding to you for the Father. What confidence does that give us? That's huge, isn't it? Perhaps today somebody needs to stop fighting the battle that Jesus has already won. Stop trying to earn God's approval. Stop carrying the guilt that Christ has already taken care of by his death on the cross. You don't live for God's love, you live from God's love. And that changes everything. Number two, the reality. Suffering and more than conquerors, verses 35 to 37. Paul is quite realistic, I think. He now asks, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then he lists trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, the sword. And it's important to talk about this because Christianity never pretends that suffering doesn't exist. Sometimes we hear, come to Jesus and all will be well. Well, actually, it's not. Life can be really difficult. It is difficult. But Jesus never promised a trouble-free life. He promised his presence within it. Paul himself experienced almost everything on this list. And again, Roger talked about this. He listed the list last Sunday. He understood suffering firsthand. Following Jesus does not exempt us of disappointment, of sickness, of grief, of financial pressure, broken relationships, uncertainty. The question is not whether difficulties come, the question is what difficulties do to us. Do they drive us away from God? Or do we lean deeper into God? Notice that Paul's concern is not specifically physical suffering. The deeper battle in this chapter is a spiritual one. The enemy wants us to experience hardship to convince us that God has abandoned us, just like he did with Job. And we heard from Roger last week about the way the enemy tries to trip us up all the time, and we need to be alert. Do you know the enemy can whisper, if God loved you, this wouldn't happen. If God cared, life would be easier. If God was present, you wouldn't be struggling. Go on. You know you want to. No one will see. But Paul says exactly the opposite. Nothing we suffer proves God has left us. In fact, God often does his deepest work in our difficult seasons. So what does more than conquerors mean? In the Greek, and I am not a scholar on Greek, so you can hit me up afterwards if I pronounce this wrong. The Greek word is hyperniko, is that right? Hyper, we all know what hyper means, don't we? Over and above, beyond and excessive. And niko means to conquer, to overcome and to have victory. So essentially, more than conquerors is to have overwhelming victory. Actually, just as a bit of useless information, Nike got their brand from the word Nico, Nikel. And it actually makes sense, doesn't it? A conqueror defeats an enemy. Someone who is more than a conqueror experiences God transforming the battle, not us. Someone who is more than a conqueror experiences God transforming the battle, not us. God turns pain into testimony, trials into strength, suffering into maturity, brokenness into ministry. And what the enemy intends for destruction becomes a tool for growth. I know one couple that is organising a cruise, looking forward to a cruise coming up at some stage. Have any of you guys been on a cruise? I haven't. That ship is the latest ship to have been constructed in 2025, and its first maiden voyage was December 2025. And this is what it says about it. This is a new class of ship. Announced as the first new ship class for a Regent in a decade. It was built by an Italian shipbuilder, which I cannot pronounce, with lavish interior design led by the Miami-based studio Dado. Although the ship is 40% larger than its predecessors, it only carries another 10% of guests, maximising private outdoor areas, suite sizes, and personalised service. The vessel boasts a highly attentive crew to guest ratio of nearly 1 to 1. The ship made headlines for introducing this ultra-luxurious double-deck suite, which is the largest of all-inclusive suites in cruise ship history. Isn't that amazing? I think that is in a port in Italy. Anyway, why I've put that up there is, doesn't it look beautiful? It's a beautiful ship. Looks lovely there with the Italian houses behind it. But that ship was not built for the port. It was built for the sea. A ship is safest in the harbour. But ships weren't built for the harbour. Ships are built for the sea, for the waves, for the, you know, all the awful weather that you can sometimes get. That's what it was built for. And that's where the strength of that ship is shown when it's out in the sea. And likewise, faith growth grows in storms. Character develops under pressure. Trust deepens when we learn to depend on God completely. I know a lot of strong Christians that have had to struggle with hardship. And they met God in the middle of hardship. Now, my in-laws aren't here, but our lovely uncle, David, who many of you will know, passed away very untimely. And at his funeral, his wife, Auntie Janie, said to me, because I've never forgotten it, she said to me, I can only cope with all of this now because of my relationship with Jesus. And that taught me a lot. I know that she walks with Jesus every day. And that was the reason why she was able to cope with that. And that's what God wants us to be able to experience as well. Hear God's word today. You are not abandoned. You are not forgotten. You are not defeated. You are still held securely in God's hands. And because Christ is with you, your circumstances do not get the final word. Amen. This is number three. This is the pinnacle. Nothing can separate us. This is verse 38 and 39. You know, this is pretty much everyone and everything, isn't it? I'm convinced that neither death or life, angel or demons, the present or future, any powers, neither height or depth, anything in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. That's everything and everyone. Paul has such confidence here. It's not I hope, and it's not I think. It's not maybe. I am convinced. Paul had tested God's faithfulness. He had experienced suffering, and he had endured such hardship. And now he stands with certainty. And Paul lists everything he can imagine: death, life, angels, demons, present troubles, future fears, height, depth, anything else in all creation. And then he declares, none of it can separate us from God's love. What a promise. Nothing means nothing. Not failure, not fear, not grief, not sickness, not disappointment, not uncertainty, not spiritual attack, not even death itself. Nothing, nothing can separate us from God's love. Why? Because God's love is not fragile. It is not temporary. It is not conditional. It is a covenant love. It is a steadfast love, and it is eternal love. Nothing in all creation. That's you and I. We're part of creation. That means even in our weaknesses, we cannot be separated from God's love. Sometimes our faith feels strong and sometimes it feels weak, but our security is not based on our strength of our grip on God. It is based on the strength of his grip on us. When a small child crosses a road, it isn't the child's grip on the parent's hand that keeps them safe. Children often let go, they get distracted, they might stumble, they don't look both ways, and then look both ways again. The security comes because the parent is holding firmly onto them, and that is how God holds on to us. Our confidence is not in our ability to hold on to him. It is in his faithfulness to hold on to us. So what? We've gone through these verses, so what? Romans 8 is not simply about information. It's an invitation to live differently. Live through the Spirit if we're to conquer what happens here on earth. The Holy Spirit sets us free. It's new life. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit when we give our life to God, Ephesians 1 and 13. Just think a minute for if someone knocks at your front door, if you've got a front door that opens, knocks on your front door and you let them in, you bring them in, then off you go, you were in the middle of ironing, or vacuuming, also ironing. So off you go back to do your ironing, and your guest is left at the front door, inside your house, but in the front door. Would you do that? Don't think you would. You would invite them in. Come and sit on the couch, have a cup of tea, whatever, coffee, have a chat. If you got up to go to your table to have dinner, would you just leave them there? No, you wouldn't. You'd say, come to the table and have dinner. Commune with me. Let's chat. It's no different. It's no different. When we become Christians, we have the Holy Spirit in our life. But we need to yield to the Holy Spirit every day. Every day. So that we have the power and the strength and the grace and the love and the peace to be able to cope with whatever that day is going to throw our way. Jesus went up to the mountain to spend time with God alone, away from the busyness of the world, away from everybody. He went to be silent with God, to be in his presence, to hear God speak to him. And we were encouraged to do the same. And Hayden reminded us in his sermon, repent regularly, know God's word, read it, spend time in prayer daily. God speaks to us through his word, and sometimes through other people, and also through conviction. Lee talked about that, through conviction as well. God can speak to us through our hearts. And Lee also reminded us to do this daily. Speak to God daily. Commune with him. Spend time together in his presence. And this goes back to the first lot, life through the Spirit, from Romans chapter 1:8. Jeremiah, who I'm sure some of you listen to Jeremiah, he's been doing a message lately on walking in the Spirit on TV on Shine. And David said, every day, ask the Spirit to fill you with his power so you can conquer the spiritual battle we are in. That is new life. That is new life. A morning prayer. Dear Lord, so far I've done all right. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been greedy or nasty or selfish or overindulgent. I'm really glad about that. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to be getting out of bed. And from then on, I'm going to need a lot more help. Now, that's a bit tongue-in-cheek, but this is the reality. We are in a spiritual battle all the time. Paul is reminding us about that in this passage. We need God to equip us every day through his Holy Spirit to be able to conquer these things. Jesus died on the cross and overcame the grave to give us new life. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, 1 John 1:9. Your identity is not your struggle. Your identity is not your failure. Your identity is not your past. Your identity is in Christ. We need to walk, live, and like someone who is loved by God. Sometimes it can be easy to be anxious about what lies ahead even. We can't see the future. But the God who carried you yesterday is already in your tomorrow. The God who carried you yesterday, he's already in your tomorrow. We don't need to know everything. We just simply need to trust the one who does. So, conclusion. Let's remember the flow of Romans 8. It begins with no condemnation and it ends with no separation. And in between, we discover that we are more than conquerors. God is for you, and God intercedes for you. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit walks with you every moment of the day. We need to commune with him every moment of every day. Nothing can separate you from God's love. If you feel far away from God, guess who's moved? It's not God. His love has not changed and his promises have not failed. His grace remains sufficient. So stand firm, walk boldly, live courageously, and trust completely. Because through Jesus Christ, you are not merely surviving. You are not merely enduring, and you are not just merely coping. You are more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. Thank you.